today.
Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
Woods, no one was more sickened or angry than I was when we didn't find weapons of mass destruction. You still have a sickening feeling.
I do.
When you think about it.
I do.
Was there ever any consideration of apologizing to the American people?
I mean, apologizing would basically say the decision was a wrong decision. And I don't believe it was a wrong decision.
If you knew then what you know now,
that's right,
you would still go to war in Iraq.
First of all, I didn't have that luxury. You just don't have the luxury when you're president. I will say, definitely, the world is better off without Saddam Hussein in power. As are 25 million people who now have a chance to live in freedom.
Talk Radio Countdown Show on the air. Once again, George E. the Bush is the focus, the memoirs, the book, Decision Points, showing up on radio and television programs all over the place, on NBC, on with Oprah, on with Rush, on with Sean. George W. Bush. What you just heard was a portion of the interview, one of the interviews with the president, in which he discusses not finding weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. It's pretty much hitting all the high points, all the things that were important during the years that he was there, controversial things, all the invisible things that have gone away now surfacing again. The president, or former president, hasn't been around much for the last couple of years, but he has reclaimed the spotlight this week with the release of this book in which he defends his war on terror, defends the decision to invade Iraq. A print run of 1.5 million copies already out. Bush talks of his errors in the Iraq campaign and the failure to find weapons of mass destruction. And there are all kinds of other things in here. You would expect that after hearing most of what has been put forth in these first couple of interviews that we cover all the ground. Maybe you don't need to read the book. I'm not sure that that's, I don't know, maybe there'd be a little nuance. You read it and you get your own interpretation. Here the president reflects on how history may judge him.
Mr. President, you have remained mostly silent, largely silent, over the last couple of years. Why'd you remain silent?
Well, for two reasons. One, I just didn't want to get out there anymore. I didn't want to get back into what I call the swamp. I'm trying to regain a sense of anonymity. And the other reason why is I don't think it's good for the presidency, for a former president, to be opining about his successor. President Obama's got plenty of critics, and I'm just not going to be one.
In the summer of 2006, as Iraq descended into chaos, he made the unpopular decision to send 20,000 additional troops in.
What made you think that was going to be successful? Give me your thinking on that.
Well, I wasn't sure what would be successful, but I knew what would be unsuccessful, and that is the current strategy. So I was coming to the conclusion throughout the summer that we needed to try something differently.
The reaction to the surge immediately, one critic called it the most dangerous foreign policy blunder in this country since Vietnam, and that was a Republican.
That's right.
That was a Republican. So in terms of decision points, how hard a decision was the surge for you? Where does it rank?
Well, it was a very difficult decision, made easier by the fact that I had met with many families of the fallen who said to me, do not let my loved one's sacrifice go in vain. And I really didn't care about popularity. I mean, everybody wants to be liked. But as the commander-in-chief, I was more interested in success than my personal popularity.
You said that history is not ready to judge you yet.
That's right.
It's going to take time.
True.
When it does come about, President Bush, do you think you'll be judged a success or a failure?
I hope I'm judged a success. I'm going to be dead, Matt, when they finally figure it out. And I'm comfortable knowing that I gave it my all, that I love America, and that and I know it's an honor to serve.
Next on the countdown from MSNBC, Andrea Mitchell speaks with a former Bush communications director about the president's comments focused on Hurricane Katrina.
That look in his eye, that surely was an angry look. I don't know if you ever experienced it as a staff member, but I've seen it as a reporter asking questions. He was really offended by that.
He was, and you know, this
may be the most thick-skinned president we have ever seen in modern times. Certainly has thicker skin than former President Bill Clinton. I think most people would agree who cover President Obama that George W. Bush had thicker skin. But this was something that I think he felt cut to something that was central to his character. And he took great offense.
He wrote, "My biggest substantive mistake was waiting too long to deploy active duty troops. By day three, it was clear that federal troops were needed to restore order. If I had to do it all over again, I would have sent the 82nd Airborne immediately without law enforcement authority." You were in Greece at your wedding. A lot of the key decision makers from the White House staff were there celebrating with you and your new husband. And so people were out of pocket. And that's the kind of thing that happens. Just a total accident, but the president was at his ranch and there was nobody just on hand watching day to day and saying, "Hey, you got to get back."
There's always somebody manning the mothership, but certainly August is a period where a White House, this White House often spreads out between Chicago and Martha's Vineyard in Washington and our White House. Look, the best thing about what he did last night with Matt Lauer was that he offered no excuses. There are no excuses for an inadequate response to a disaster like Hurricane Katrina. And I think what people who love George Bush will love about this book and what people who hate George Bush may begin to understand about George Bush is what you see is what you get. And I think that his singular, you know, when he talks about being at peace with history's look back on his presidency, I think that is very much about making sure that we were never attacked again after 9/11. Because as you remember, it wasn't about whether we would get attacked. It was about where and when we would get attacked. But I think if you look at the single thing that I think that he would remake completely, it would be that initial early response to Hurricane Katrina.
Everyone knows you make better choices when you can try things out first. And choosing a university shouldn't be any different. At Kaplan University, we're introducing the Kaplan Commitment, a new way to experience classes with no tuition obligation. During our introductory period, you can decide if we're right for you. If not, you only pay the application fee. That's it. We want to help you make educated decisions about your education. Learn more at kaplan.edu/talent or call 866-721-5955.
Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Reduce email storage and get compliant.
Barracuda Networks can help. The Barracuda Message Archiver is an integrated hardware and software solution that indexes and preserves all email communication and attachments. With no per-user fees and a quick setup, the Barracuda Message Archiver is the best solution for reducing the cost of email storage while ensuring government and litigation compliance. Powerful yet affordable security, networking, and storage solutions trusted by more than 80,000 businesses worldwide. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit. 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or visit Barracuda.com.
An important message from Medicare and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Got 2 miles to go, John. Why are you smiling?
Oh, you'll like this. I just changed my Medicare.
Open enrollment?
Yep. I compared plans and found coverage that's better for me.
Did you see the new benefits we get from the new health care law?
What?
Like, well, 50% off brand name prescriptions for anyone in the donut hole.
Really?
Come on, John. You got to keep up.
Open enrollment is November 15th to December 31st. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
Hi, I'm David Cordani with Cigna. We've been working with the March of Dimes for Stronger, Healthier Babies for 16 years. Did you know, in America, 1 in 8 babies is born too soon? Those who survive the early birth can suffer serious and sometimes lifelong health problems. Some babies never come home at all. Help bring more babies home healthy. Join me and the March of Dimes in fighting premature birth. Go to marchofdimes.com.
Improve your memory with Neurolox. 1 out of 2 American seniors will experience life-altering brain decline, but it's not too late to protect yourself. With the breakthrough product, Neurolox Advanced Memory Formula, you can improve your focus and memory, protect against premature brain decline and oxidation, and even elevate your mood. Call 1-888-445-1932 to try Neurolox risk-free. Refocus your mind, improve your memory, and fight premature brain aging, all with Neurolox. Call today, 1-888-445-1932.
800-510-8255, the usual line. Get in on it as you can. We'll take some calls on the president and what you've been learning this week about his defensive positions. Here from Fox host John Scott speaks with former Bush Deputy Press Secretary Scott Stanzel. Says the president was in office during one of the toughest times in our history.
Anything in there surprise you? I mean, is this the same book, the same boss that you saw as he was leaving office?
Yeah, it really is. I think people will see that he's a man of character, integrity, compassion, and he's a man who is very much at peace with the decisions that he had to make in what was one of the most tumultuous, maybe, times in recent history in this country. And I think, you know, he's not one who's prone to navel-gazing or being put on the couch, as he sort of used to like to say. So this book that walks people through the decisions that he had to make as president and that he was confronted with when he was in the Oval Office, I think will provide a sort of a revealing sense of all the information that he processed as president and those difficult decisions that he had to make, whether it was on the economy or on issues of national security or things even in his personal life.
And he doesn't shrink from some of those calls that he made. I mean, he's been asked about Hurricane Katrina, for instance, and said, yeah, I didn't do the kind of job that I wish I had done.
Right. He is certainly able to reflect on some of the things that went very well during his presidency, some of the more troubling times, whether it was Hurricane Katrina or the financial crisis that occurred. I think he's one who is not one to shift blame, as he may have seen in the interview that he conducted last night. He said, I'm always to blame. And he actually sort of meant that because it is a buck stops here job with the president, and he felt the weight of that office fully when he was there. And I think this book will help people understand why he made the decisions he did at the time when he had to make them.
He had a 90% approval rating just after the 9/11 attacks. It was substantially lower at the time he left office. When you were coordinating some of his sort of exit interviews with the media, did that bother him?
No, it really didn't. And he used to say, who cares? And that was one of the quickest ways that you could get dismissed from the Oval Office, is to bring poll numbers into a conversation. It was not something that really drove his decision making at all.
Isn't it interesting how all the old Bushes are showing up? Here is their radio host, Frank Shires, hoping that the critics of the president, President Bush, will at least read the book.
Associated Press points out in that in Decision Points, the president, as they say, who in cockier times could not think of a single mistake he had made, lists many. And they say in the article, Bush's mistakes, in his view now, they range from a badly named piece of legislation, the Patriot Act, implying those who opposed it were unpatriotic, to the momentously consequential claim that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, a justification for war when none was found. That's not exactly true, actually. But he writes that he cut troop levels in Iraq too quickly and that he misjudged the severity of the economic downturn in his final months as president, believing the U.S. might still avoid a recession even as the House of Cards was about to come tumbling down. Look, those are consequential mistakes. Oops, I missed the recession. That's a pretty big mistake. Oops, no weapons of mass destruction. Pretty large error. And I certainly would grant both of those. You could argue with me until you're blue in the face. You're not going to get anything more out of me. Then, yeah, I made some mistakes. But I'm going to return to what I said at the beginning. I look at where we are 2 years later, okay? 17% unemployment, 9.6 for the rest of us. The government has taken over our health care, the car companies, the biggest insurance company in the world, the banks. I just look at that stuff, and I know some people think those are achievements. I think they're just awful. I look at where we are today. I would rather be where we were 3 years ago with George W. Bush as president. Am I going to read the book? Probably. Be interesting to see what his worldview is and how he sees the different things. Are people going to stop hating him? I doubt that. I mean, the people that hate him are going to hate him. That's the way it works. The people that think he's stupid are going to think he's stupid. But I'll tell you this, and without naming the host, there are individuals around here who have listened to what Jimmy Carter has to say. Now, I don't know anybody who wouldn't say Jimmy Carter was one of the worst, if not the worst, modern American president in our history. And yet we give him credence. If that's the case, had we not ought to at least see what George W. Bush has to say?
The Countdown will return in just a few moments with your calls at 800-510-8255.
Go gold isn't for you?
Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Take a minute and hear what I'm about to tell you. You might have heard about Life Change Tea on a radio commercial or a TV commercial. And you did what many people do. You tuned out. I understand. Now the facts. When health fails, you will do just about anything for better health. So why wait? Read our testimonies of better health by drinking Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. And how much does missing work cost you when you're sick? Get ahead of the sick curve. Get the tea. Here's how to order. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call one of our friendly operators, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Our tea tastes great, and we'll help you with your health, and you can even lose weight. So again, try us out at GetTheTea.com.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
23 and change past the hour. We're interested in your thoughts. We have a couple of more pieces of the pie here. The president, former president, I keep referring to him as the president. Some people have called this the George W. Bush rehab tour. Well, it's kind of interesting as to who got chosen, because they chose, they called and said, okay, Rush, you want to have the president on, and Sean, and I'm not sure if he's going to be on any local programs or not. Been on with Oprah. I think he's going to do some of the late night shows. A lot of people, he said, as he was on with Oprah, don't think I can read, much less write. And then he said that the world was better off without Saddam Hussein. That's an undeniable fact. I didn't have to hear that from George Bush. He argues about not finding weapons of mass destruction. I mean, I think we've heard a lot of this stuff. Now you're getting used to the same stories being told on all of these shows. Here's radio host Chad Hartman, who focuses on the president, thinks he'll be criticized for saying he had no intelligence that Al-Qaeda might be using airplanes to attack America.
Let's give you a little audio, and we'll react to some of the points he has to say.
Did you not have any idea who was behind this?
I mean, we all surmised it was Al-Qaeda, but before you make a decision to go find somebody, you want to make sure the intelligence is as good as it can get. And the next couple of days, we heard all kinds of chatter and celebratory talk, and so it became clear it was Al-Qaeda.
Did you ever ask yourself the question, what more could I have done to prevent this from happening?
Well, we just didn't have any solid intelligence that gave us a warning on this. I mean, we didn't have any intelligence that said get ready, they're going to fly airplanes into New York buildings.
He's going to be eviscerated on that one by the lefties who can't stand him, because it's been well documented, the reports that were given to Condoleezza Rice when he was down in Crawford early August on the potential of attacks through airplanes. Now, what we don't know is how many different potential ideas were thrown at President Bush at that point, former President Clinton. We just had, when was it? You might have been gone, Adam. It was 10 years after the bombing of the Cole. And so there was a release of documents, which was awfully critical of both presidents, President Clinton and President Bush, saying, hey, we have actionable intelligence on bin Laden and al-Qaeda for these attacks. And Clinton didn't push it hard enough at the end, and the Bushies weren't interested in it. So I don't think anybody's going to say, yes, specifically on September 10th, you had this information. But if over and over, including the 9/11 Commission, talked about what Condoleezza Rice was provided to her by the people who were reporting to her when she was, what, National Security Advisor at the time, and gave to President Bush, that's been reported over and over. So on that point, he is going to receive criticism, don't you think?
And if you look at it through the glasses of our reality today, when we get, you hear the term chatter now.
Yeah,
about
right.
Even the most, what would seem the most maybe minor attacks or, things, most minor attempts by terrorists. And you think there would be something, that somebody would have heard something about it.
Yeah.
Somebody would have known something.
And I'm
not saying would have known exactly what was going to happen, but that something's coming.
You want to give Olbermann his opportunity for his return tonight? They're going to go to the 9/11 Commission and talk about what Condoleezza Rice showed the president and showed other people in August while he was in Crawford and what happened a month later.
Yeah, and it's going to be – it's difficult to look back on it now based on what we've learned and all the news reports and stuff since that time. I mean, that moment was transformative in terms of the way that intelligence is looked at.
Yeah, talking to each other.
Exactly. The way it's disseminated, the way it's distributed, the way it's acted upon by various agencies. And so to sit here now and say, well, we should have known this, that, and that. Or
I'm not saying that, but he said we didn't have any intelligence. It has been reported – endlessly flying planes into buildings. Flying planes into buildings. That is their plan. Now, has that turned into hyperbole? Has that turned into something convenient for liberals and individuals who hate George Bush? Let's see the reporting on that, because it has been out there for a long time.
And now for the bonus round. Earth is to moon as pancake is to...
Rice rub?
Correct. Never bite the hand that feeds you. Why not?
Because it hasn't been washed.
Correct. All Wii consoles connect to the internet, which means what?
It means I can now watch movies instantly from Netflix.
Correct! Netflix now delivers unlimited TV episodes and movies instantly to your TV through your Wii console, all for only $9 a month.
See terms of use.
Never let your lips go naked. Instead, for healthier, supple lips, slip on something silky like ChapStick Moisturizer. Slide on something luscious and smooth like ChapStick Cherry. Or throw on something comfortable and familiar like Classic Black. ChapStick, hydrating formula for everyday protection. Because whether you're on a date or hard at work, healthy lips should never go naked. Join us on Facebook for even more lip service.
So, Lisa, mucus, what brings you to counseling?
Sinus congestion.
And she blames me.
You are mucus.
Well, did you ever think it's swelling due to nasal inflammation?
I assumed.
Yeah, there she goes.
Mucus, please. It's more constructive to offer a solution.
Okay. New Advil Congestion Relief. It treats the real problem of sinus congestion with the strength of Advil and an effective decongestant.
Everyone feel better?
Much.
New Advil Congestion Relief. The right sinus medicine for the real problem. Use as directed.
Everyone knows you make better choices when you can try things out first. And choosing a university shouldn't be any different. At Kaplan University, we're introducing the Kaplan Commitment, a new way to experience classes with no tuition obligation. During our introductory period, you can decide if we're right for you. If not, you only pay the application fee. That's it. We want to help you make educated decisions about your education. Learn more at kaplan.edu/talent or call 866-721-59.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Hurricanes, ice storms, blackouts, and the prospect of civil unrest. When the unexpected happens, will you be ready? Hundreds of concerned citizens across America have already installed wind generators to help protect their families in the event of a disaster. So act now and build your own wind generator with an easy-to-assemble kit from WindBluePower.com. WindBluePower carries the best battery charging wind generators and permanent magnet alternators in the country. Our 12-volt wind generator kits are also great for small cabins and campers. And all WindBlue Power kits qualify for a 30% tax credit. So get your discount now. Go to WindBluePower.com today and enter coupon code RADIO for 5% off. Or simply call 800-976-0026. 800-976-0026. Protect your family's emergency energy needs now at WindBluePower.com.
You may not be thinking of lead and brass as precious metal investments. And you may not be thinking about ammo when we say battery station. But you should, because Battery Station has a large inventory of the most popular calibers. Just go to BatteryStation.com and click on ammunition. There, you'll see where Second Amendment patriots invest in precious metals for .380, 9mm, 40 cal, 45 ACP, 38 Special, 357 Magnum, 223, 30-06, 308, and more. Be sure to look for the October GCM specials in blue boxes, too, at BatteryStation.com. We shoot what we sell, and all Battery Station ammo is all factory. No reloads. You'll enjoy great customer service, great prices, and fast shipping. Plus, all orders over $30 will receive a free patriotic flag. So invest in gold and silver. But don't forget about investing in lead and brass, too, at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799 or go to BatteryStation.com today.
The Talk Radio Countdown. The tidbits from TV and radio, put them together, and what do we have? Interesting conversation about what the starring subject matter is. Top hits. We're showing off for you. That is, we have these huge stories that are covered some by, not by The View, even Oprah into the George Bush thing. So we've got some more comments from some of the people that have been involved in this thing directly, and that is the interviewers. And then we have your calls at 800-510-8255. How's President Bush going to be treated in the history? What about Laura Bush and all of this? Bill O'Reilly has some thoughts on the waterboarding statement made by the president during the interview that has been much. He's talked about it in two or three different circumstances so far. So here's O'Reilly on it.
President Bush and torture. That is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. This week, President Bush is making the media rounds talking about his new book and explaining some of his controversial decisions while in office. I will interview the president later this week, but last night, NBC's Matt Lauer got the first crack. Mr. Lauer is a good interrogator, but he's a liberal guy, and his Q&A about waterboarding was very interesting.
Why is waterboarding legal, in your opinion?
Because the lawyer said it was legal. He said it did not fall within the Anti-Torture Act.
Would it be okay for a foreign country to waterboard an American citizen?
It's all I ask is that people read the book. And they can reach the same conclusion if they'd have made the same decision I made or not.
You'd make the same decision again today?
Yeah, I would.
Now, from the jump Talking Points, it says that in a time of war, and that's what we're in against Muslim jihadists, you have to do things you would not ordinarily do. For example, Abraham Lincoln suspended habeas corpus during the Civil War. So to waterboard three high-ranking terrorist suspects in order to get information that likely saved thousands of lives seems to be logical and responsible unless you live in a theoretical world where feeling noble is the ultimate objective. That's where some on the American left live, in the world of theory, and they have condemned Mr. Bush, making waterboarding and alleged torture a major deal.
George W. Bush was lying when he said we don't torture. This is not a matter of subjective opinion. Our country executed Japanese soldiers who waterboarded American POWs. We executed them for the same crime that we are now committing ourselves.
The American government is allowing torture. It comes from the president all the way down.
Anyone that is waterboarded will admit anything because you basically keep killing that person.
It's drowning. It gives you the complete sensation that you are drowning. You give me a waterboard Dick Cheney in 1 hour, and I'll have him confess to the Sharon Tate murders.
Ironically, President Obama has not suspended coerced interrogation of terrorists. He just orders it done by non-Americans overseas, and that should tell us something. The danger from the jihadists continues to be enormous, and some of these people have to be broken. Again, I don't understand the moral dilemma here. Self-defense is self-defense. Legally, you can kill someone who threatens you, and we can't dunk three terror guys in the water? Mr. Bush makes a persuasive case, pointing out that those who oppose his policies are entitled to their opinions, but they're dead wrong because by using waterboarding, some of us were certainly most kept alive.
800-510-8255. You agree with Bill O'Reilly's contention there? Don't know that I do, and I find myself more often than not agreeing with O'Reilly. As an aside, he was on with Bill Maher on Maher's HBO program last week, and I thought he actually did a very good job with Maher. Maher is becoming more, is it just me, maybe just more cynical and more obvious in his disdain for those who are on the right. Nobody is ever always correct nor always wrong, no matter how far to any extreme or either extreme one goes. That would be my common sense. Hopefully that's the way you view it, a common sense approach to any and all issues. Doug Steffen here with a countdown, 800-510-8255. Email to Doug at DougSteffen.com, Twitter.com/talkradiocountdown. Text line is 646-926-DOUG. Here is Mabel who writes, I'm going to go buy this book to ease my bowels when I take my morning dump. Gary writes, we can all agree Bush was a disaster. Let's see here. Connie says, if George W. Bush had doubted the national, had doubled the national debt, which had taken more than two centuries to accumulate in 1 year, would you have approved? That's a pretty good question. What about George W. Bush and the overall presidency? Because that's really what this is about. We have, we've got an overall, I think, accounting for most everything. Is there anything? I haven't heard, frankly, in the various programs that he has been on so far, I haven't heard him dodge any question. I think most of the controversy has been covered. For example, Michael, let's go to the Oprah Winfrey cuts, the excerpts from her program. Oprah asks Bush how it felt to be made fun of and being called stupid during his presidency.
Being made fun of for not being intelligent or being portrayed as stupid. Did that not to be become painful after a while?
I'm sure it hurt my daughters and my wife. It didn't hurt me.
It did not.
Because I knew what I was doing, you know. I mean, I felt so strongly about some of the decisions I was making that, and I felt like history would understand them ultimately. That you got to understand, if I had allowed the critics to affect me during the presidency,
mm-hmm.
I mean, all this name calling and stuff, I don't think I'd have done my job as a leader.
By the way, Bush has appeared so far on the Rush Limbaugh program, Sean Hannity, as far as radio is concerned. He was on the television with Hannity and on with O'Reilly, I think, later on in the week. Here is, again, Bush has nothing to lose and everything to gain by fessing up. So here he talks about his alcoholism with Oprah.
I realized I was falling in love with alcohol.
Mm.
And alcohol was crowding out my affections for my wife.
Was it?
And my daughters. And the book starts off with Laura saying, tell me a day in which you haven't had a drink. And it walks the reader through my decision to quit drinking. And in order for me to quit, it required the patience of a loving wife,
mm-hmm.
a loving God, and discipline.
Hmm. He doesn't sound as relaxed. I'm listening to this, listening to the difference between his conversation with Matt Lauer and the conversation with Oprah. See if you think he doesn't sound as relaxed. He here reflects on what happened September 11th.
When you were told that you should not go back to Washington, Dr. Condoleezza Rice, who said, she said, do not come back to Washington. Washington.
Yeah, when she says something like that, you say, yes, ma'am, Ms. Rice.
Do not. But you wanted to go back to Washington.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to go back to Washington. As the commander-in-chief, here's what happened. So I'm in the limo heading back to the Air Force One, and Condi calls me and says a third plane has hit the Pentagon. And my construct was this. The first one was likely an accident. The second one was an attack. And the third one was a declaration of war. And I'm the commander-in-chief, and I want to be in Washington, D.C.
So at that time, were you thinking war? I know you write write in the book that when you first flew over D.C. later that evening and saw the Pentagon, that you said to
Andy Card.
Yes. That you're looking at the first war, the 21st.
Yeah, I absolutely was thinking war. And I was thinking, what do we have to do to protect the United States of America? And, yeah, I was thinking war.
All right, George Bush talking to Oprah Winfrey. Up next, Bush talking with Oprah about the weapons of mass destruction or not in Iraq.
A lot of times they don't judge you on the decision you don't make. And the point I make is that Saddam Hussein in power today would mean the world would be less stable and more dangerous. And 25 million Iraqis would be living under the thumb of a brutal, ruthless dictator. My point is the world's better with him gone.
But yet you would not have made the decision.
Well, I don't think that's a question I cannot answer because I didn't have that luxury. In other words, the decision I made was based upon what everybody thought was solid intelligence.
Do you now feel or believe that you were misled?
No, I don't think so.
By your intelligence?
Not at all.
You do not.
No, not at all. I think our intelligence
happened.
Just we're wrong. I don't think anybody intentionally misled is a wrong word. Do I think that we made a mistake? Do I think we were wrong in our assessment? Yeah, I tell you what was wrong is Saddam Hussein deceived everybody. Saddam Hussein, it turns out, did not want people to know that he didn't have weapons of mass destruction, including many people in his own administration.
All right. So a lot of the same stuff, right? We're hearing, no matter where in the interview, it's the same thing because it's all about the same book. But I feel he's not as at ease. That's all. That's my only observation listening to this. Here is his speak. Again, this is with Oprah. We heard from Matt Lauer earlier in the week. This is the Oprah interview, and the focus is what happened after Katrina here.
Kanye West went on the Katrina relief program and said George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Yeah, that really hurt.
Jesse Jackson later compared the New Orleans Convention Center to the hull of a slave ship. Yeah. A member of the Congressional Black Caucus claimed that if the storm victims had been white, middle-class Americans, they would have received more help.
Yeah.
And you say that hurt.
Yeah, it hurt. I mean, you can disagree with my politics, but don't ever accuse me of being a racist. And put a policy in place that I really felt helped
people
from all races in America. And I don't understand why somebody would accuse me of being a racist. There's no justification for that whatsoever. And frankly, it speaks to the ugliness of the American political scene.
All right. Now, this is the next two pieces. The last two pieces we're going to play from the Oprah interview are things that we did not hear. At least I didn't hear them in the Matt Lauer interview. The discussion of whether or not anybody else in the family ought to run for the presidency.
I don't think so, but I wish there was.
I think people are bushed right now.
That's going away fast.
Yeah, I was hoping my brother Jeb would run, frankly, but he's not going to. So he'd have been a good president.
Been a great president, but he won't.
Well, I've talked to him about it, and he's talked to him about it.
But we have other children. Maybe we have the first girl president. Who knows?
Mom, I hope you're not announcing your candidacy.
Oh, yes.
And I'm not actually sure that came off of that. I don't know. Michael, where'd that come from? Doesn't sound like it came from the same interview. Let's do the last piece here. Bush says he's staying out of all political discussions, present and future.
So your brother Jeb was recently asked by CNN if he would support Sarah Palin for president.
Yeah.
Remember that? In 2012. And he responded, you betcha. Do you think that Sarah Palin is the one for the Republican Party in 2012?
I am not a political pundit. I'm really not. And secondly, a lot is going to happen between now and the nominating process. I have
no
clue.
I'm not asking you to pundit. I'm just asking your opinion.
You're asking me to wade back into the swamp.
Come on in.
Yeah. Not going back into the swamp. Okay, 800-510-8255. Are you already dulled on this? You've heard what there is to be heard. Here's Lee who writes, Bush said Saddam tried to kill my daddy. Case in point, you don't need intelligence for that. It wasn't for if it wasn't for the briefing, he wouldn't honestly be able to tell you the date. A lot of really sad, nasty stuff about a guy who's done some questionable things. Would you rather he were president now than Obama? And when you reflect on George Bush and his presidency and you look at the mess that we're in now with Obama, where are the good candidates? That becomes a side discussion, a side issue of this. The study of George Bush's presidency is front and center, and more of your comments, mostly calls, coming up here on The Countdown.
An important message from Medicare and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Got 2 miles to go, John. Why are you smiling?
Oh, you'll like this. I just changed my Medicare.
Open enrollment?
Yep. I compared plans and found coverage that's better for me.
Did you see the new benefits we get from the new health care law?
What?
Like, well, 50% off brand name prescriptions for anyone in the donut hole.
Really?
Come on, Don. You got to keep up.
Open enrollment is November 15th to December 31st. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
After age 21, young adults with disabilities age out of the services and supports provided by law through the school system. As a result, families are faced with concerns about their adult child's immediate needs for employment, housing, independence, health care, and financial security. Patricia Wright is Director of Autism Services for Easter Seals, a nonprofit offering services to people with disabilities.
Parents of adult children with developmental disabilities are really struggling with concerns that impact every aspect of their lives, especially when it comes to their financial well-being and independence. They are particularly fearful about what will happen to their son or daughter with a disability when they are no longer able to care for them, yet have done little to prepare for that time. Easter Seals is working to raise awareness of and advocate for the lifelong services families desperately need.
For more information from Easter Seals' new study about parents of adult children with disabilities, visit easterseals.com. I'm Lee Shepard.
This holiday season, drop your car off at Sears Auto Center while you're shopping at the mall. The Sears Blue Automotive Crew will make it easier to take care of your to-do list while we take care of your car. Through November 10th, hurry in and save on all Goodyear tires. Plus, save up to an extra $80 with the purchase of 4 after mail-in rebate. And go to SearsAuto.com to get other great offers, including a coupon for a conventional Valvoline oil change for only $21.99 with no shop fees. Sears Auto Center. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
800-510-8255. Let's see who's paying attention to what in the discussion of this. It's sort of a brawl back and forth, but a kind, gentle brawl. Interesting, if you believe what O'Reilly says about Matt Lauer's politics, and yeah, I think you can, I guess he does lean to the left a little bit. Pretty objective as an interviewer. And Oprah certainly is a supporter of those on the left, Barack Obama being number one. And They were pretty good. They were pretty solid. And the interviews were both good, don't you think? 800-510-8255. Here's Amy, who's listening in the hub city of Boston with a comment on President Bush. Go ahead, ma'am.
Well, I'm amazed, and I'm a student of the dumbing down of America. And I watched as the Republicans sucked our country dry and pushed it off the cliff. Now, Mr. Bush, like Reagan, are a dumb dog front for the gas and oil party, and Mr. Bush added trillions to our debt but didn't account for it. He did it in off-balance sheet Enron-style accounting, like $500 billion a year for prescription drugs. All Obama did was put it on the balance sheet again. And Mr. Bush divided us, one demographic group against another, Catholic against Catholic, veteran against veteran, employer against employee, the unemployed against the employed, lots of groups against gays. The reinvention of him is only being done a little sooner than they did of Reagan.
All right, so is this the reinvention of George Bush? I hadn't heard it put quite that way before, but that's an interesting speculation, or sort of, is it speculation? Interesting input, if you will. 800-510-8255 at 51 past the hour. This is The Countdown.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power, regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low, at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, oregacillin physician strength capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
800-510-8255. Autograph seekers descending on a shopping center this week as George Bush started to personally promote the book at a hometown bookstore as the interrogations continue. First in line at the border store about a mile from his home, Terry and Tammy Jones of Justin, Texas, camped out overnight. They talked to Bush, told him of the wait. He said that he'd signed their books with admiration, shook their hands, and kissed the wife. So there you go. 18 hours after they started their wait, she got what she wanted. That's a good story. Decision Points, name of the book, George Bush, the author, 800-510-8255, Carlos thinks what of this? Go ahead, sir. You're on the air live.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. There is no doubt in my mind that Bush is a smart businessman. It's so funny that now that the Republicans have taken the House, he's come out of exile to explain his side of the story, especially when I lived through his administration to see what I saw. And I don't need to go back to listen to his lies, you know.
This wasn't something that just happened. He didn't just do the book. The book's been in the works since he left the White House, just now being published. It isn't like the Republicans win and he goes for it. He was going to go for it before the election.
To come out during this time. But I understand, you know, he wants to come out now, you know, where the Democrats show a little bit of weakness. But there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, the truth has been written. People saw what they needed to see when he was in office. There was no need for us to go into Iraq.
So who writes the book? I'm with you on no need going into Iraq. I'm with you 100%. He was a horrible president. Who's going to write the book on Obama, and what will that book say, do you think? Does he write his own book, and How does he acquit for the horrible job he's done so far?
I'm sure that he's going to write his own book, but I think most of the stuff that the Bush is talking about, some of the stuff is classified. You don't want to say certain things that are not need to be said. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm sure
what's that? What has he said that's classified?
In regards to the war information.
Why wouldn't you want in this circumstance? So you're not a supporter of all the info that's been released by the Leakopedia or WikiLeaks or whatever it's called?
No, because, all that does is it gives information to the enemy on how we operate our business.
I think you're kidding yourself, sir. I think that the enemy knows, whoever the enemy is, knows most of that stuff. Most of what has come out has not been particularly important. It's just been a lot of hoo-ha that people have talked about. All right, so we got a good comment, a good range of feelings from you. Thank you. 800-510-8255. Natalie, you're in San Francisco. You're on the countdown now.
I was so proud of our President Bush, and I lived through 8 years of listening to Democrats. In fact, there was an article from the San Francisco Chronicle, and it summed it up precisely. The knives were out for George Bush from day one. From day one, these people attacked George Bush. Day one. Now, a little bit of history about his what he did for our military. I have a personal friend who lost their son. His name was Lieutenant J.T. Robleski. He was from New Jersey. He was the first killed in New Jersey. He graduated from Rutgers with a 3.8 grade average. He could have been anything in the world he wanted to be. But because of 9/11, and because he watched it personally, as we all did living here, because we still live in fear here, he enlisted in the Marines, and he was killed. And President Bush has met with that family at least 4 times, and coincidentally at times. People would go down, with Gold Star families would go down to Washington, maybe go to Arlington Cemetery to see their son's grave, their child's grave. And George Bush, secret security, would ask them if they would like to come in and meet the president. Now, I don't think people know anything about what President Bush did for these families. He hugged with them. He cried with them. And he would meet them at least 3 times a week, and so did Vice President Cheney.
Well, you know what? If Rumsfeld and the administration had approved or they'd gotten MRAPs in there, that man probably wouldn't have died. That would have been my thought on that. Joan, got a few seconds for you in Hannibal, Missouri. Please go on the air with us.
I am so sorry for these people who are calling in, giving their negative opinion of my President Bush. And you, Doug Steffen, I am insulted that you continue to say that he was a bad president.
Well, that's my opinion. You can be insulted all you want, ma'am. I'm not insulted by your saying he's a good president or was a good president. He was, in my opinion, a horrible president. Sorry we have to end on that note. 59 past the hour.